Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org. This is the Sunday after Easter. And of course, Easter is a fantastic celebration, right? It's a highlight of the Christian calendar as we stop to remember and celebrate that Jesus Christ is risen. It is the foundation stone of our faith that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And he lives today to know us and draw us into relationship. But this is the Sunday after Easter, the Sunday after Christmas. It's the week after the big event. What happens next? What's happening now? I like something I read recently by author John Ortberg. He makes the point that at no time does Jesus ever say to his disciples in those weeks after his resurrection and before his ascension, "Hey guys, I just hope everybody feels so much better now that you don't have to be afraid to die. Because of my resurrection, when you die, you'll be raised from the dead. So everybody be relaxed about dying now." Jesus never says that or really anything like that. Actually, when you look at Jesus' interaction with his disciples after his resurrection, it is a strong call, and the word, probably best word here, is commissioning to get on with the mission that Christ has come for. It almost is startling, the lack of celebration like maybe you and I might anticipate, or the party just keeps going on into the next week. But it's more of a, let's just get busy, let's get at it. As he continues to speak to his followers, he's letting them know that the mission that he has begun, that he and his Father have started, will continue on, and it is going to continue on in his followers, people who know Jesus and are in relationship with him. And he's going to spend time with them. He will send the Holy Spirit to empower them and help them. But that thing and that presence of God and the presence of the kingdom that came with Jesus continues on in his followers. And that's what's happening the week after Easter. Now, speaking of commissioning, I think it's just best to hear the words of Jesus. And you can read them in Matthew chapter 28. This is what he's saying to his followers, to his disciples. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" And there it is, the week after Easter. The second week after Easter, the third week after Easter, the 100th year after Easter, the 2000th year after Easter, obeying and following the commission that Jesus has given to us to make disciples. And now, last year, in 2019, here at Shanghai Community Fellowship, we started talking more intentionally about answering this post-Easter call and commissioning from Jesus at SCF. It's not that we weren't making disciples, or weren't concerned and felt strongly all that about making disciples. It just, we felt as leaders that we wanted to be much more intentional about following Jesus's commission than maybe we had been probably for a while. And we start talking about what that meant. We start talking about how would we do that. What would it look like here in our context, here in Shanghai, and in our transient international church? And eventually, after a lot of conversation, some research and borrowing from other Christian communities that were answering the same commission, we came up with something called Jesus at the Center. And that was going to be how we were going to describe how we, SCF, were going to bring about the answer, our response to Jesus's commissioning to make disciples, by putting Jesus at the center and then following him in this commission. Now, putting Jesus at the center of our lives was the way we position ourselves to Jesus and to Jesus to us. Because with Christ at the center of our lives, now everything that we touch, every conversation we have, every relationship that we have, and the entirety of our life, the full scope of our lives, has Jesus at the center. And with Christ at the center, starting in that position, he just in time, and this is what we hope, will just continue to fill up more and more of our lives, bringing honor and glory to his name, using us to answer the commission, make disciples, and see his kingdom come. Now, you know, when we introduced this last fall, one of the things we also said, especially in its context, was so often here at SCF, you know, people would become Christ followers for the first time, or maybe they would renew a relationship with Jesus, one that had gone cold and distant, and inevitably, because we are almost exclusively a community of expats and internationals and global citizens that who will leave China to move back home, move someplace else. We said that, you know, when that time comes, when that person who has met Christ here in Shanghai, who has drawn closer to Christ, who has seen Jesus become the center of their lives, when they leave, that they don't leave their faith in Jesus behind. So that doesn't become like a Shanghai thing. You know, well, when I lived in Shanghai, I was really following Jesus, and I was a Christian back in those days. But now that I've moved home, I'm into something else now. No, we loved it that people loved the community, and we loved it, and we're really glad that people were growing in Christ while they were here. But we wanted that to happen after they left SCF and after they left Shanghai. And what we were saying is, you know, we love for people to say, it was kind of scary when I found out that I was being transferred. I wasn't sure what was going to happen to me when I graduated with my graduate degree, and I realized I was going to be moving back home, and especially leaving my community group and my community here called Shanghai Community Fellowship. But you know, I felt like, you know, it's a little unknown, maybe even a lot unknown. But with Christ at the center of my life, I feel a whole lot better about this. And I feel like my friends at SCF had prepared me. Because having Jesus at the center of our lives really prepares us for all of life. Now, when we said that and we kind of set that up and introduced all that in the fall, for the most part, we were thinking about a very common experience that many of us were familiar with because we've seen our friends go through it year after year for the 20 plus year existence of SCF. We were just thinking more in terms of just getting transferred, you know, to another posting, maybe another city in the world, finishing up a contract and going back to our home countries. I have to say, and I think everybody involved would agree, that last fall when we introduced Jesus to the center, we were not thinking about a pandemic. You know, we weren't anticipating the kind of life and reality and existence that all of us are living right now. But when you think about it, if having Jesus at the center of our life was going to be really important and can I say this, helpful, significant, right, for the expat life we're used to living then, that having Jesus at the center in the middle of a pandemic is even more necessary, is even more meaningful and significant. And that's exactly where he should be for all of us who follow Jesus. He should be right at the center of our lives, especially now. All right, so one of the things that we did that helped us to unpack and explain what Jesus at the center was all about back in those days, just like 7-8 months ago, was to describe how just about all of us could fall into one of four, let's call them categories or descriptions. In other words, most of us listening today can probably describe our relationship with Jesus in one of four ways. there may be a few others, but most of us are going to be captured in one of these four descriptions. And we said those descriptions were exploring Christ, growing in Christ, close to Christ, and Christ-centered. So let me explain what those are for just real briefly. So a person who is in that season of life where they're exploring Christ, this is somebody who might have a basic belief in God. You know, in fact, they probably have kind of settled that. They're not, and they would not describe themselves as an atheist. But say, well, I believe God exists. I don't know much about him. I don't think I could describe him. I'm not really sure, but I do believe there is a divine being some out there. I've heard of Jesus. I know Christians believe in Jesus Christ, and he's a significant part of Christianity, but I'm not really sure how. I'm not maybe sure who Jesus is in relationship to the divine being I'm convinced exists. Most importantly, maybe I'm willing to explore that. I'm willing to ask some questions. I'm willing to have a couple conversations. I don't know. I'm just exploring, and I'm kind of checking it out. That's exploring Christ. Some of us are in a place of life where we might describe ourselves as growing in Christ. So these are people, and those of us who we've made a commitment to trust God with our lives, with our very souls and our futures through the person of Jesus Christ. But frankly, we're really just learning now what that actually means. And the decision to believe in Jesus or to follow him, there was a lot of faith involved in that. There was a lot of trust involved in that. I still have a lot of questions. There's still a lot I don't really know about Christianity, but I'm in. I feel like I'm in the kingdom, and I believe in Jesus, and I'm trusting him with my life. But I'm still learning. I'm growing. I'm growing. Because another way to describe a season of life that some of us would be in is to say that we're close to Christ. And this describes a person who would say, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm not saying, you know, I'm the perfect Christian and I have perfect understanding of theology and doctrine and all that. But for the most part, day after day, I'm trusting God with my life, and I'm living out the values of Jesus's kingdom. I'm taking what I know about Jesus's kingdom, and I'm applying those things to my life, the way I relate to people, the way I speak to people. It's important to me to be closer to God, and so I look for ways to do that. And I'm reading the Bible, and I've learned enough about the Bible now that I can read it and pretty much understand its meaning. Maybe there's a few difficult spots that I have trouble with, but a lot of it I read, and then I can start to apply it to my life and how I would live that and its meaning to me. And that's the person who's close to Christ. And the fourth one was a description of someone who is Christ-centered. This is someone who's got Jesus at the center of their lives. Again, not the perfect person, not the perfect Christian. But maybe the person who characteristically has the eyes of Jesus and the eyes of faith. You know, Jesus was really about other people, pretty much 24/7. Always about his Father's business, always looking for the work of his Father and then doing that. Always concerned about the other people in the room. Always thinking about how do we advance the kingdom in this situation and in this relationship. Very much others focused, ministry focused, service focused. This is Jesus. And those living Christ-centered lives are living like Jesus, basically, and are continuing to grow in that. And as Jesus would have prayed, "Father, not my will, but your will be done," those living Christ-centered lives are praying prayers like that as well. You know, this week, not my will, but your will be done. Let your kingdom come. And those are the prayers of those who are Christ-centered living. Now, as helpful as it is to have these little descriptions, you know, like I just gave, and that's a lot of fun. It's like having a map. You know, I'm here. You know, little mark on the map. I'm right here. Jesus at the center and following Christ and being a Christian isn't just about finding where you are on the map. You know, like if you go to the mall and they have one of those maps, you know, it says, you know, where all the stores are at, and there's the big red dot that says you are here. Well, you know, if you find the big red dot, you don't just all go back to your car or go back to the DD and say, okay, we did it. We came to the mall today and found out that we're right here on the map. And then you go home. No, you. It's helpful to find out where you are, but the point is to move. The point is the movement, not just finding where you are on the map. And so same thing here. The point here is not just to find out where we are on the map, but to find out how we move, where we move, and when we move. It's like a friendship. Maybe you have a really great friend, and I hope you do, right now, that you share life with this person, you share joys with this, your struggles, your life. I mean, you're just an open book, as they say, with this friend, very vulnerable with each other. There isn't anything, aspects of life you just don't share. But it's highly likely that your friendship did not start like that. You know, the first weeks of that friendship did not, was not filled with, you know, all this vulnerability and sharing life's joys and struggles. And in fact, in the early days of that friendship, it might even have been fairly irrelevant or random. It's just somebody you saw on the train, you know, you both were in the same class together, you know, psychology class at university. You might have had some mutual friends. I ran into him at the pub a couple times. You know, just the beginning of that friendship might have felt fairly random and maybe at times kind of irrelevant. In time, it grew into that meaningful friendship where you shared life's joys and struggles. Very similar to our walk and life with Christ. At the beginning, it might feel kind of random. We have these kind of maybe one-off spiritual experiences. We think, I think maybe God might be saying something, but I don't really know. In time, we walk into, we move into these deeper relationships with Him as the friendship with God continues to grow. And the key to that happening is something called the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because when we become born again and we become followers of Jesus Christ, we are filled with this, we have the presence of His Holy Spirit in our lives. That's totally new, okay, as followers of Jesus. And the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is active, it's dynamic. He's engaging with us, if we will allow Him, engaging with us every day. And so in the course of our living our life in Christ, the Holy Spirit will guide us and direct us and each day. I'm giving an example. So there's this guy named Greg, right? And Greg is a professional writer. And so, you know, Greg has got several little kids. He works from home and he's got a few deadlines on some writing projects. And he's just getting more and more stressed out. He's lost his focus. The kids are driving him crazy. He's got responsibilities at home as a father and a husband. And so he's been lately getting up earlier and earlier. It feels like he's getting up in the middle of the night, you know, to do some of the writing projects and meet those deadlines. But it's just like going nowhere. And he's getting more and more frustrated. And so Greg, it's a true story, by the way. Greg, you know, one of these nights where he's just like, I don't know what to do. He remembers that he and one of his kids have been reading about the life of King Solomon in the Bible. And the author of the book, storybook that they've been reading says that King Solomon, who had this incredible wisdom, didn't work for the wisdom. It was given to him as a gift. And so Greg said, you know, all of a sudden I just felt the Holy Spirit communicate to me to stop trying so hard. Just stop. He said, so I turned my computer off, I turned on some worship music, and I just spent time in God's presence for the next 45 minutes. He said, and doing that just brought me to a place of rest and stillness in God's presence, to where the Holy Spirit could really basically kind of minister to me, help me, serve me, care for me during that time of rest. I just stopped striving so hard and waited for God, through His Holy Spirit, to give me a gift. And He did, by the way, He did. So now those are all kinds of things that can happen to us and we can experience. There are some things that we will experience that turn out to be fairly significant, right? Decisions we make regarding our faith or related to our faith that, I mean, everything's good. I mean, everything we do to follow the God and through the Holy Spirit, it's all good. But some turn out to be fairly significant. And honestly, there have been enough Christians around for 2,000 years that we kind of know what those are. It's not a secret. It's not a big mystery. And let me give you a few examples. And some people think there are like 25 of them. And some people talk to a lot of Christians, thousands of Christians in different churches, and said, this seems to be like a common experience between Christians all over the world. These are the kinds of things that really inspire and motivate and move people forward in their faith. And they took those 25 things and they actually put them into four categories. Like, okay, well, you could probably sort them out in these four different ways. They said, there are some things that have to do with our faith, our belief, the things that we believe, the things that we accept as real and true, the way it affects our attitude. All right, so let me give you an example. When someone understands what salvation by grace actually means, when they come to a place where they really get it, I have been saved by grace, it's the grace of God, it is like a catalyst. It can be a life-changing moment. I get it. I've been saved by grace, not by works, anything that I'm doing. Or for another one might be the authority of the Bible. When I come to believe that the Bible is a source of authority and it is God's revelation to me, it's coming right from the heart of God to me, and when I get that, it's a game changer. It changes everything. Another category that some of these things fell into was organized church activities. I know it doesn't sound very romantic, but in other words, most people, as when they become Christians, will become Christians in the context of other Christians who are around them. I mean, of course, there are people who are just off by themselves and have a direct revelation from God and find a Bible in a hotel room and say, pray. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. But we often begin our journey of growing in Christ when there are other Christians around us. And what we often end up doing is joining them as they're serving and as they're creating ministry. We just kind of join in with that. And we might be given like something to do. We're totally new to all this. But, you know, I thought about the context of the family, right? I'm a dad. My children are pretty much grown up. But when they were little in our family, we started giving them things to do. You know, I mean, they're not going to run the family tomorrow. We're not giving them the financial management of our home. We're just asking them to bring the silverware, the knives and the forks and the spoons and the plates from the kitchen to the table. And the children learn to serve at ways that were appropriate for them at where they were in the journey, right, at their age and all that. But it just starts there. And there are lots of things that we can do that create movement in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ when we serve with others. Some of those are like really organized things. Some of those are kind of more organic. Another way to put into a category some of the 25 different things that help us to move forward in Christ are things called spiritual disciplines. And some of you may know about spiritual disciplines. These are the things we do to practice our faith. So let me just say at the outset that hearing God's voice and seeing God at work, these sensory ways of knowing God are real. They're foundational. They help us receive guidance from God. They help us receive understanding from God. So I'm not being exclusive. So we're in a place where we see God at work, and we're in a place as His followers where we can hear His voice. But alongside of seeing and hearing are the practices of our faith. Things like reading the Bible and learning from others how to understand its meaning and apply it to my life. Or another one, and these are probably would sound really familiar to most people. Another one would be prayer, the discipline of praying regularly, daily, inviting God's presence, submitting myself to Him as my day begins, or maybe at the end of my day, or both. These are, and there are many disciplines of our faith that we practice that bring us into movement that help us to grow into the likeness of Christ, where Jesus is at the center of our lives, and He continues to fill out the entirety of our lives. And by the way, if we like the hearing and the seeing, it's the practicing of our discipline, or the discipline of practicing our faith, that will often enhance our hearing and our seeing. In other words, what I'm saying is reading the Bible regularly and praying regularly will strengthen and enhance hearing Him and seeing Him. And then the other category, the last one, is things that we do now as we've grown in Christ, where we're not like little children in the family waiting for somebody to give us, here's the plate, take it to the table now. We know how to set the table ourselves. We've reached the place where we know how it goes, we know how it works. We can set the table without any instruction. We've been instructed. Now we can begin to organically move in the kingdom and move out and move forward. Okay, so this last year, really, and more intentionally since last fall, we said that we would focus here at SCF on six of these things. These, I call them catalysts. Things that we do that are significant and move us into Christ-likeness and move Jesus into the center of our lives. We said we would focus on reading the Bible, understanding its meaning and applying it to our lives, praying, being in community, talking to others about our faith in Christ, serving through the church with our brothers and sisters in our community, and tithing. All right, so we're gonna talk more about this. This whole thing last year came together. It was a group effort, but one of the key people to help us pull all this together and kind of providing leadership was Khan. And in a moment, Khan's going to be joining me for a brief interview. But before he comes, we want you to take a look at this video. Jesus at the Center describes SCF's response to Jesus' call to disciple nations. We acknowledge that people arrive at SCF in one of four spiritual conditions: exploring Christ, growing in Christ, close to Christ, and Christ-centered. Our aim for each person who connects with SCF during their time in Shanghai is to move closer to a life where Jesus is at the center by using biblical catalysts which facilitate this kind of spiritual growth. In the first year, we are emphasizing six catalysts: reading the Bible, reflecting and applying its meaning to our lives, prayer, community, making Christ known, serving through the church, and tithing. SCF is a church of the nations, reaching nations to disciple nations. All right, welcome back. I love that video. All right, so we've got Khan with us, and I asked him to kind of get involved here. You know, Khan has been serving on our church staff, and he's been involved in some pretty significant ways all along, just serving our body, and it's been great. But when we were moving toward Jesus at the Center, and something I mentioned earlier, how do we answer this commission? We want to be more intentional. We want to be more, you know, purposeful. You know, Khan really became the center of that conversation pretty early on. Just kind of helped us think it through, and then getting into the implementation of the ideas that we felt the Holy Spirit was giving us. But before Khan gets into kind of the details of what we've been doing and what we're going to do, and I asked him if he could just take a few minutes to just talk about his own personal journey, living out the ideas of Jesus at the Center. Maybe take us all the way back to October when we first introduced it. But for all of us, we've all had our lives turned upside down since the pandemic. And so how has that maybe changed things for you? And so why don't we just start there?
Great, thanks, Pastor Dale. So I think mainly for the first thing with, since we rolled it out last year in October, I personally have lived it out in the sense that with one, reading the Bible, and in this case, I was using the DBS method, which we are also offering, which is the Discovery Bible Study method, which as you will see on the announcements, we also offer on Tuesday nights. But the reason why I kind of like this specifically is because you're not only reading the passage, but it also gives you time to reflect and then also to apply it in your own life. And I think it kind of comes down to one of the things that you've mentioned earlier, you know, where initially you just hand out the plates and the cutlery to your children. But at some point, you're going to realize you can't do that forever. And then you're going to actually maybe have to take initiative and start setting, you know, the plates yourself, you know, without actually your parents asking, you know. And then after a while, you might actually now be in a position where you might ask other people to help. You know, you take that initiative, you've just become more mature. So with that in mind, for me, I kind of really like that approach because I would read the Bible, but then this, the method also helps you to reflect in that sense that you basically have to then also have ask the Holy Spirit to really help you to decide or to see where in which area in your life you actually need to apply the specific truth. And you also need to ask the Holy Spirit, which is a prayer, which is another catalyst, to really reveal that to you. Because obviously without His help, you won't be able to do that. But it's one thing to really know that specific area that needs help, but then it's a completely different thing to really actually apply it in your life. Because the whole point of reading the Bible is, and the whole, and also to that extent, Jesus at the center, is to transform you, you know. And if no transformation happens, then it's like looking into a mirror and when you leave, you kind of forgot how you look like. You know, and Jesus at the center is also there to, put it maybe differently, to become more like Jesus. You know, and that is in every area. And by reading the Bible, He might then actually help you to determine which areas you need more improvement. So that was one of the ways that I kind of lived it out by just reading the Bible, applying this DBS method, but then also, you know, pray and ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. Another way I would also do is I would often, like most of us, before you start with your, you know, quiet time or spending time with God, it would be, you know, you have everything on your mind, you don't know how to actually, you know, take the focus off of yourself and onto God. So I would just listen to prayer music, you know, worship music, kind of just help with that. Or I would sometimes use the acronym, the prayer that you've been taught in the Rice and Beans. You know, or I would use that as a way to kind of just help me, kind of just, you know, switch it up. And then another one also is with the community group. So Emily and my wife, we used to lead a community group, but then with the birth of the twin boys, kind of stepped back. But over time, we kind of also realized again that the need for being in a community, you know, to have people support us, help us, pray for us, but so that, but also that we can speak into other people's lives, support them, help them. So those are some of the ways that I've, on a personal level, I would say, kind of lived it out. And then more specifically, since the pandemic started, I realized it was in a time like that I realized actually how important it is to have these catalysts or spiritual disciplines in place as a foundation. Because when the storm comes and you don't have it, it's very easy then to start to listen to the lies of the devil. To give an example, in the beginning, I read a lot about the COVID-19 and I almost kind of got obsessed about it to the point where I became very anxious. I was fearful the whole time, and that's pretty much the only thing that I thought of. And even to the point where my wife Emily could every time tell me, as you can see, you've been reading, you know, you've been looking at the media. And it was during that time that I realized that by actually reading the Bible, you know, knowing what it says, you know, like Philippians 4:6-7, where it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you know, make your request known to God, and the peace of God and surpass all understanding and guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You know, and with that passage specifically, I kept repeating it over and over, probably like 23 times to kind of give me that peace. Because I realized that my head told me, I will trust God. But my heart and my actions said something completely different. Mm-hmm. I was fearful. I didn't have joy. You know, I didn't have peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was also through prayer that it helped me to alleviate that. It was also with the help of my wife community, you know, with believers, also our community group, that really kind of helped me, you know, to do that. And and I came to a point where I really just had to repent. And I realized that I don't really trust God the way that I say I do. You know, so by using all these various catalysts within Jesus the Center, it kind of helped me to come to a point where I had to face certain things about my own life that I realized was not really Christ-like. And through that, I made Jesus and centered him to become the center of my life. So those were just a couple of examples of how I've lived it out in my life.
Yeah, great. Thank you for sharing all that. So let's just, you know, because you're so really deeply involved and the Jesus at the Center here at SCF. And we mentioned before, you know, the catalyst, the things, the areas that we, specific things that we wanted to focus on for this year, like reading the Bible and teaching and training people how to read the Bible and prayer. We mentioned those six things. And I'll put these two together. You know, what kind of things have we done at SCF to equip people, to encourage people, to so that they can, you know, teach them basically how to do these things? What's up? What's going to be coming up in the future?
Yeah. So basically, one of the things that we kind of did with the Jesus Center is we had the four sessions, which we called Life at SCF. And the first one was basically just to explain to the people why we're doing it, the rationale behind it, the choosing of the six catalysts, you know, because unless you really don't know why, it's kind of hard to kind of just follow suit. So that was kind of the first thing. And then the second one that we also did was in order to help empower people, you know, to make Jesus the center of their lives, we were helping them to realize their own personal spiritual path, you know, and how that looks like in order to become closer to Jesus. And that's where we focus on four of the six catalysts. You know, we gave kind of like a growth chart, and we told them, depending on where you are in your faith walk, if you are here, you know, this is how a possible growth would look like. And in that session, we focused mainly on the Bible, prayer, tithing, and community. And then the third one of the series of Life at SCF, in order to kind of to help empower people again, was we help them to find their purpose, you know, and their fulfillment in Christ. And we focus on the spiritual gifts, but mainly in order to use that then, not for their own benefit, but to serve not only SCF, but the community around them. And then lastly, we also then focused on the last catalyst, which was outreaching. There we kind of told them how SCF is involved in outreach and missions, not only locally, but internationally. But then we also helped them and showed them how they could, you know, get involved, you know. And that's kind of how we try to incorporate and empower the community of SCF when it comes to Jesus the Center. And then obviously, apart from the Life at SCF sessions and then the six catalysts, we also what we called the supplementary, which was basically the additional workshops or sessions that kind of would just help with those six catalysts, you know, like the DBS or then, you know, inductive Bible study or the rice and beans, you know. So those were all various other sessions and workshops that we also provided alongside. But unfortunately, came 2020, Chinese New Year, you know, and the COVID-19 came along and kind of changed some of our plans. And we weren't able to necessarily have all of the workshops that we planned initially, you know, as we would have had Rabbi Zacharias ministers come. But going forward, what we're going to do now is we're going to kind of focus on some of the other catalysts as well. You know, apart from the ones that we already currently have, which is the DBS and the One Prayer, we also focus on community. specifically with having it a sermon series, as well as a small group study.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will also look at try to open up online community groups for people to join.
Mm-hmm.
Another way that we will also go about is we will have workshops specifically focused on vocation, but you know, with the income as a main focus point. Mm-hmm. And then how faith and just uncertainty, kind of how they all connect,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
what is the best way to yeah. deal with that. And then another third one mm-hmm. would be a workshop on evangelism or apologetics. And then again, they're focusing on the catalyst of outreach,
mm-hmm.
where the previous one's catalyst with the vocation and faith and would be the tithing. So those are the three main things mm-hmm. that kind of we foresee up until the next end of our fiscal year, which I believe mm-hmm. would be around June.
Okay, mm-hmm. good. Good, that's great. So to track with Jesus at the Center workshops, training, the things that, different things that we're doing, you can always go to our website, shanghaifellowship.org, O-R-G. You can sign up for our newsletter there and you'll get you know, updated there. Keep watching here on Shanghai Community Fellowship Online Sunday, because things will get announced here on Sundays as well. So you'll be able to track with us and find out how you can be involved in some of the things that Con was just describing. Hey, we're going to wrap up our time today and want to thank you again for being with us. Our community is spread out all over the world, literally. We have many of us here in Shanghai, friends who are in different countries, or home countries for the most part. But you know, we are still one because Christ makes us one. And as I pray and wrap up this session, this time we've had together, I want to specifically pray for those who, your job situation, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty around employment right now, a lot of uncertainty about whether we keep our jobs, whether we're going to be asked to take a cut in pay, give up our bonus. I mean, so I just want to, it's creating a lot of worry and trouble in our spirit. And I'd like to pray specifically about this issue as we finish today. Father, as we wrap up this session, we're thankful for the call to come and follow you. And not only follow you, where we see you at work in our lives, starting with you being at the center and then filling up the rest, but also the commission to do the same for others, to be used by you, to serve others as well, see your kingdom grow and advance. And even a pandemic can't stop that, can't stop your kingdom from growing or from you reaching into the hearts of the people that you love so much and died for and then rose again for. Father, I pray especially today for those who right now, their employment situation is very uncertain and it's creating a lot of fear and concern. We look for stability, but it just doesn't come. We look for security, but we just can't find it. And I pray, God, in ways that you're so good at, by directly speaking into our spirit, by your word, when we pray, as we seek you, that you will do this for those who are afraid. Let your perfect love cast out our fears so that we might find that we are actually resting in you and even experiencing some joy. Although our circumstances might not have changed right now, we are joyful because you have given us joy as a gift to us. Thank you, God. You are loving, good Father. And our trust and our hope is in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.